Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Because there was like an unexplained 40-minute gap between when guards found Epstein and when emergency services were called. So is that because they were freaking out and they realized that they didn't check on him every 30 minutes and they were trying to cover their butts? Or was there for another reason?
I don't know.
Who we did not see in the video was Hillary Clinton. I'm just saying. He was nowhere to be seen.
Welcome to Rivera and Reeves, the podcast where we break through the bias, report the news, and occasionally trip over our soapboxes while ranting about the headlines.
Every week, we tackle the biggest stories with sharp analysis, unfiltered honesty, and just enough sarcasm to keep it fun.
So pull up a chair, grab your coffee, and join us as we wade through the spin, because the media is trash and we have zero patience for their nonsense.
Hey, friends, and welcome to another episode of Rivera and Reeves. I'm Mercedes, and I'm here with my friend Rachel. Say hello, Rachel.
Hello, Rachel.
And if this is your first time here, welcome. You have found your new favorite podcast. We are back from our 4th of July break, which I dipped out. I mean, I didn't completely dip out because, you know, I'm an addict when it comes to the news. For Mercedes, I basically dipped out. I had a house full of people. It was very, very busy. But now we are attempting to get back to our regularly scheduled program. So we'll see how I do, because this morning... We started early, you guys, and then I had technical difficulties. And so I'm a little sweaty right now because I was stressed out that this was not going to happen.
But it did. Yay.
Happened. Yay. How was your 4th of July?
It was great. I love 4th of July. We do the same thing every year. We drive through McDonald's for breakfast. Very American of us. And we go pick up even more fireworks. Then we already buy some before 4th of July, but then we go buy more on 4th of July. And then come home, putz around, clean the house, and we had over some friends and just barbecue, hung out, let the kids play in a little like splash mat, and we just had a blast. It was great.
So in Virginia, are you able to do like actual fireworks, or are you doing okay? Because we're blowing stuff up in the backyard.
Yes, and then we also have, I mean, they're not like if you went to Disneyland, those kinds of fireworks, but they're good. They're better than what we were allowed to do in California. They were basically like, you can't do anything. Do sparklers. It's not true. You can do some, but you have some options here. And then you also have neighbors who go into West Virginia and buy the illegal fireworks and set those off. So the last couple of years, not this year, but the last couple of years, we have had full firework shows in our backyard where... We didn't do it. Don't come looking for us. It wasn't us that did it. But they were not legal. They were definitely like setting the woods on fire type of fireworks. And there was nothing we could do about it. People were blowing them up. I was sitting on my porch enjoying seeing the heavens.
Those are the ones that we're able to do here. Like we literally had rockets that are just
like, and the rockets red glare.
Yeah, like legit. And it wasn't just us on our street. There was like two other houses on our street. And then we're on a ridge. So we look down and, you know, you could see in the valley and on the other mountains, like everybody setting stuff off. So it's awesome.
Yep.
So we had a good 4th of July, and we are back to get into the news cycle that was just very slow over our 4th of July weekend.
Yeah, we really don't have much to talk about at all.
At all.
Oh, wait. It was crazy. Absolutely. Like some real devastating news, some bizarro news, some news that's still keeping us, our heads scratching. Like, what is going on?
So what are we going to attempt to get in today? We're, of course, going to be talking about the devastating tragedies in Central Texas with the flooding. I'll give you an update on where we stand with what happened there. And providing, I don't want to get into, like, I get really frustrated and it's always hard to discuss this sort of thing because we're going to discuss the coverage that the media did or has been doing since this first happened, which happened on the 4th of July. So there was a little bit of a window of time there where I think in general, people didn't know what was going on because we were all busy with the 4th of July. We're also going to try and hit on the Department of Justice and their memo where they have basically determined that there's no there with Epstein.
Interesting.
Which everybody has a lot of thoughts on. It's been interesting to see, like, legacy media, regular media, not independent media, not conspiracy theory media, but just regular normie media going, something's a little sus here. So over the 4th of July holiday, we started getting news reports about the flooding in Central Texas. And as of this recording, the death toll, I believe, has reached 100.
I heard that.
Yeah, okay.
This morning, yeah.
The death toll has reached 100. I believe the county that was most affected is Kerr County, which is where the Mystic Campground was also located. And in that county alone, there was 75 reported fatalities, 48 adults, 27 children, plus there were other deaths in surrounding counties. And right now, started, I think, early on, a lot of just asking question type reporting of, could this be at fault of the Trump administration and the Doge cuts, which was the general narrative, which I think is very interesting, because I think it is fair to make comparisons of the response and the reporting in Texas or in regards to the flooding in Texas versus the reports and the reporting of North Carolina. Because we had, it was two different presidencies. And if you remember how North Carolina was reported, immediately right off the bat, the major concern, it seemed to be, in regards to narrative from the media was defending the Biden administration and FEMA's response, and basically how dare anybody question the response from FEMA or provide any type of misinformation in regards to FEMA funding versus what we've seen for this event, where the focus has been, can, you know, we know this is how it's being reported. Like, I saw Dana Bash report on this. I saw George Stephanopoulos report on this early on. Chuck Schumer immediately put out a statement. And they were all along the lines of, well, we know Trump has been making cuts. There has been Doge cuts. And is it possible that because of these cuts, people weren't informed with and weren't given enough advance information or warnings to evacuate from the area?
Just talking about the federal government and even the local government, two Texas National Weather Service offices involved in forecasting and warning about flooding on the Guadalupe River are missing some key staff members. A director of the NWS union told CNN that the Austin San Antonio office is missing a warning coordination meteorologist due to the Trump administration's buyouts. Do you have any indication whether those or other cuts helped play a role in the fact that the people in the flood zone were not prepared and certainly not evacuated?
No, I can't say that conclusively, but I do think that it should be. And I don't think it's helpful to have missing key personnel from the National Weather Service not in place to help prevent these tragedies.
Maria, we're also learning that there were significant staffing shortfalls at the National Weather Service's offices in the region.
You know, George, as of right now, the local county officials really didn't want to address that just yet. What they are telling us is they expected between 4 and 6 inches of rain. That is what weather experts told them, the National Weather Service as well. They also knew that in remote locations, they might get anywhere from 8 to 10 inches. But this amount of rain in such a short amount of time, it was very difficult to navigate. And when the Department of Homeland Security Secretary was here just yesterday, she acknowledged this was an issue. She was going to take these concerns to the White House as well and try and see if there was anything they could do to revamp the system. She says the president is committed to it.
Maria, thanks very much.
No, and they're not really there. One was harping on the preventative measures. They're trying to say because Trump exists, I mean, literally, it's becoming less about just, quote, asking questions, more about taking all of the blame for what happened and placing it at the feet of the White House, the administration right now. That was about preventative care, whereas lots of us who were watching in real time the response, the cleanup effort, the rapid response to people who were without homes, without running water, that we were watching in real time what was happening. And that was less about could they have known, what was the alert system like. This was about people who were not seeing FEMA at all.
You're talking about in North Carolina.
In North Carolina. So it's just, you know, one's at the front and one's at the other. And the ability for the media to say it's wrong if you criticize if it's a Democrat, but it's obviously the fault of the Trump administration since he's in office, when I think they all know factually they are wrong with placing the response or the preventative measures that the Weather Service took. They're wrong to place the blame on Trump because of so many reasons. But I mean, first and foremost, the cuts that they are saying are going to negatively impact these areas haven't even gone into effect yet.
Which is not a difficult thing to look up as a journalist.
It's not. They know it. They know it, but they also know that a lot of people, the general public, won't go looking for that information. They'll just swallow whatever they're fed. And so there's not just that. They were saying that they were understaffed in these areas, which they were not. They were saying blatant lies that there were no warnings, which there were. I mean, if anybody did just 5 minutes of sleuthing online, they would be able to debunk all of these narratives. But what do you, I mean, honestly, what do we expect from George Stephanopoulos or Dana Bash? Truly, it's going to be about climate change. It's going to be about Trump's cutting of the NOAA. Like, this is just what it's going to be.
Well, and I went and looked, and this wasn't just like, first of all, let's provide some context of what happened. The alerts and the weather forecasting was released as early as July 3rd, where warnings were starting to be, you know, sent out. The morning of July 3rd, which was Thursday, the National Water Center Flood Hazard Outlook indicated expansion of flash floods potential for the area. At 1:18 p.m., they issued from Austin, they issued warnings there at 6:10 p.m. This is all on Thursday. Yeah. Weather Prediction Center issued their first precipitation discussion. I remember seeing even like a video where things started to get really bad. And I think it was like a local, I can't remember exactly who it was, but they were putting out specific warnings of, you know we have a lot of visitors in the area. You need to be paying attention. This could potentially get dangerous. There were multiple warnings on July 4th itself. And even before the 3rd, there was predictions of the weather.
Yes.
But what was not expected is that the weather, which is the same thing that happened in North Carolina, mind you, was that the weather got stuck over the area, dumped a significant amount of rain. It wasn't expected to hover over the area. So on July 4th, at 11:41 p.m., there was the first flash flood warning that was issued. Now, mind you, there had already been multiple alerts and warnings of potentially the weather turning bad. By midnight, the rainfall began. At 1:14 a.m., the flash flood warning was considerable, which means, like, that's really something.
It's heightened. Like,
yeah,
you need to
it's
get
heightened.
Out.
Exactly. The problem is that the wall of water started to move its way down at about 4 a.m.
Yeah, so it's dark.
Which is dark and everybody's asleep. We're talking about, I mean, my guess is that maybe a lot of these camps, especially if they're youth camps, don't allow electronics or cell phones unless, you know, of course, it's an emergency. And it wasn't until 4:06 a.m. that the National Weather Service warned of ongoing, quote, very dangerous flash flooding event. And it is my understanding that where the worst of it happened, which was the Camp Mystic, which is many people have discussed because it is a 100-year-old camp. It was an all-girls camp where initially the reports was over 20 young girls had gone missing. Mm-hmm. And this was, I think, shortly, you know, just in the hours after the floods. They are at like the fork area where a lot of the water starts to converge and it turns into the Guadalupe River. Mm-hmm. And it's actually like they're in a prime area for if things go sideways, it's going to be one of the worst and most negatively affected areas. Well, they're all sleeping.
Yeah.
They're all getting this. And even if, you know, it's supposed to send out on your cell phones, like everybody knows the sound. It's like the Amber Alert type sound where it's supposed to wake you up. However, if you are getting a notification at 4 a.m., I'm guessing that the cabins don't have cell phone service.
Like sirens, like
there's, there's just a lot of things that the timing of it and the fact that the water went up like over 20 feet, 45 minutes.
It's absolutely crazy. Watching the time-lapse videos of that online made my stomach turn because it happened so rapidly. I thought I was watching a sped up, like there were time-lapse videos that I saw, but I also watched one in real time that was over like 15 minutes. And to watch how rapidly that water rose, I mean, there's just even, I want to do like that thought experiment. There's no use in doing that. But even if at 4 a.m. when someone got that alert, if they had run to all the cabins and said, get out, let's go. How much time
do you actually have?
Yeah. And how much space do you have in all those vans? And you have hundreds of campers, I'm assuming. And then also, I don't know about you where you live, but we get flash flood warnings
all
the
time.
And I have literally never paid attention. I mean, if it's been raining for like 4 days, then I probably would go, huh, okay. But I mean, that's here. We've never had a flash flood of that magnitude. And I'm wondering, I know that this exact same thing has happened there before. I believe it was in 1987. It was pretty catastrophic then as well. But yeah, it was the series of the most unfortunate events that all kind of happened at the same time. It's nighttime. They're probably used to getting flash flood warnings. Maybe they didn't hear their phones.
They were hosting 750 girls this summer.
Well, I heard that there's like two levels to
like lower,
higher mountain, lower mountain. And so, you know, they were interviewing people that were at the camp that are on the higher portion of the mountain that were spared and they were safe, but absolutely just incredibly devastating. I could not even imagine having four little girls. I just thought, looking at those pictures with one of my girls specifically, who just would have been having the best time of her life at something like that.
I can't even fathom. So yesterday I had turned on a video from Megyn Kelly. She had a clip where she's describing, I don't even want to talk about it because she was so descriptive on like, imagine the situation and what these little girls, you know, were experiencing the day before versus that early morning. I had to shut it off because I was in the middle of eating my taco and I thought I was going to choke on it because I got so emotional.
Yeah.
And I think this event has just really been devastating because it's such a large group of innocents that were affected on such a time that is supposed to be one of the best times of their lives. And so it's just like, I can't even talk about it.
It's very... the loss of life so immediately, so quickly, those girls had no chance in that situation. And to just think of them either, how long were they alive knowing that this was happening to them, that they were being swept away? They found two sisters. They found them later and they were holding hands, like grasping onto one another. I think of my girls. I was thinking about it too. When a mass shooting happens at a school and there's two dozen children that this happens to, it is understandably so, rightfully so, it shakes the nation, just the loss of innocent life so quickly. And much like that, I thought, you know, this is more lives than a typical mass shooting in our country, but 27 girls, just life's gone, and likely more that they'll find in the coming days. But the difference with this, there's two differences I noticed, was first of all, parents didn't have immediate conclusive answers. I cannot imagine being a parent and waiting for 5 hours, let alone 24, 36 hours to find out if my baby's dead.
Yeah.
So they're waiting. And some people are still waiting. They don't know where their families are, or their children. And then also, I have never seen with I don't think anything really. The amount of just vile responses from people who are willing to go on the internet, put their face on a screen, and say, based on their party politics, that this was deserved and that they don't feel an ounce of remorse for these families. We have hit a point in our country where people are living, they have had their soul sucked out of them because of their party ideology. And it makes me devastated for us as a people. And it wasn't just like one person. You know how there's always just that one nut
job? Yeah, the one nut job. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, as a homeschool mom with four girls, finding news content that's actually appropriate for kids feels almost impossible these days. Everything's either dumbed down to the point of being useless, or it's filled with stuff I have to pre-screen because, heaven forbid, we get actual facts without a woke agenda attached. That's why I love Worldwatch. It's a daily news video designed specifically for kids that doesn't make me nervous about what they're going to hear. My girls actually get excited when it's time for our 10 minutes of Worldwatch because it covers real stories, the big, important stuff, and the fun, lighter things, all with a biblical worldview that aligns with our family's values. And can we talk about how refreshing it is to have news that recognizes God's design in everything? Plus, with a paid subscription, you get access to their full archive. So if we want to revisit a story or catch up on something we missed, it's all right there. Worldwatch delivers fact-based video news you can feel good about. As a busy homeschool mom, that's exactly what I need. Daily videos that help my kids explore the world while keeping our faith at the center. Check out the link in our show notes to get 3 free months. Trust me, it's an easy win for any parent who's tired of having to watch everything ahead of time, just to make sure it's safe for their kids. And says something heinous and you're like, go crawl back, you know, into your cave. Please don't come out again. This is a lot of people. And almost more difficult for me to swallow than the people who are just outright evil and say things like that are the ones that kind of skirt around it. Like, well, Texas always votes red and Trump's the one who had these Doge cuts and you get what you pay for.
What you're hearing, I mean, the media, whether they want to admit it or not, there are some individuals in the media that will begin their statement with a lot of like, oh, it's devastating. But, you know, we do have to understand
this is the consequence of voting for certain things. And they did it with Hurricane Helene. I remember hearing that very much like, well, these are the areas there are predominantly red. Like that matters. Come on, you know. But this specifically, since so many lives were lost and children swept away quite literally their life over in a matter of moments, I would imagine, to see them react in the way individuals and the media, lots of individuals, so brazen, like posting that online, that it's like, well, sorry, don't feel bad for you, though. You're a racist camp because it's only white rich girls that go.
Yeah, there was that one account. And you, of course, unsurprisingly, a lot of this, you're seeing it on TikTok where they're just, you know, I recently saw this dude that was like, I have no sympathy for you because now you're upset because it's your children. But what about the children of the migrants that are, you know, having their children ripped away from them as if they're
those are even
comparable.
Stop it. There was the doctor who posted, like, bless their hearts. Don't even feel bad for them. Whatever. She was fired.
Posted it on Facebook.
Wow. Imagine.
So initially,
that's how demented these people are, though. They have lost their minds to think that they can say things like that and there will be no consequence to their life. I'm glad they do. I'm glad that they do post it so they can be pushed out of society because, wow. But still.
So, and it's not even like, as you mentioned, it's not the randos. There are some people who were just fully out there. So do you know who Ron Filipkowski is?
Yes.
Okay. So Ron Filipkowski, for those of you who do not know, is the editor of Midas Touch. Midas Touch is, how do I describe Midas Touch?
See if you can find a way.
Let me see if I can find a way. So are they Lincoln Project affiliated? I would say they're Lincoln Project adjacent. Yeah. And so they are, if I'm not mistaken, I think I'm not sure if Ron is like Lincoln Project, where they used to be Republicans and then they like lost their minds and now they're like the complete opposite.
Yeah.
But Midas Touch is a news organization that maybe it's like they're trying to be the Daily Wire of the left is maybe like the best way that I can compare it, but not succeeding and so much more trash. And so Ron Filipkowski posted, which he then deleted, by the way, but he posted, the people in Texas voted for government services controlled by Donald Trump and Greg Abbott. That is exactly what they are getting, or they getting. It says what they getting, wow. Not they are getting, but you know, I can't fault him. I do grammar mistakes all the time.
You did call it audios reports yesterday instead of axios.
That was my bilingual keyboard that did me dirty.
Do you have a bilingual keyboard?
I do. I have a keyboard that.
Well, that's cool.
That like it can figure out. I don't have to switch between English and Spanish.
Well, apparently you do because it was audios reports and I saw it and I was like, I'm not going to message her because she will figure it
messages.
Out.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, friends.
Yes.
And it's always very annoying because like it happens and I'm typing so fast and I just send it. And then like it's like an hour later where I start getting DMs and I'm like, dag nabbit.
I know. I hate that.
But yeah, Ron Filipkowski is not, this is someone of influence. This is someone who is advocating Democrat policy, activism. And now granted, I did actually see accounts that called him out on this. Accounts on his own side because
right.
it's Good. So... gross.
Yep.
But everything got like really quiet at my house and I started to get back online and I started to scroll again. The amount of everyday people, like granted, some of them may have been bots, but it just came off as like it's truly everyday people that you're supposed to be interacting with on the day to day. And specifically that doctor, it really puts in the back of your mind, is my doctor that way? Are there people that I'm trying to interact with that think about me in this way that would affect the services that are provided to me, the care that I'm given? Have we really gotten to that point where, you know, and I'm not surprised because there was a season where many of us would keep our mouth shut about politics because of the reaction that you would get from the other side. And I think conservatives in particular have gone through long seasons of that.
Yeah.
But this to me like really struck as like next level.
My friend Bethany posted on X last night how scared or just how kind of shook her when she read that response from that doctor, because she says that she's thought about that a lot. She's a Jew and she has 6 beautiful children and she has had that experience. I believe she said at the pediatrician and also with one of her midwives.
Totally, oh, yeah, I saw that.
Totally changed her service to her care when she found out her last name. And so, I mean, this isn't just a one-off wackadoodle that's acting like this and saying these things. This is toxic ideology that is seeping into people in our culture and ruining them, just poisoning them from the inside out. And it was on full display this last week and heartbreaking and revolting, really, that the party itself isn't able to, the Democrat, the progressives are not able to disassociate themselves from these very, I mean, crazy people.
Well, and I think leadership. It's very disappointing to see the leadership. So there was a clip of Al Sharpton. Mm-hmm. And also when Dana Bash did her interview, they were talking to Democrats. So Al Sharpton was talking to Democrat leadership, Hakeem Jeffries. Mm-hmm. And I believe Dana Bash was talking to Castro. What is his last? I forget. Ruben Castro,
no.
I think.
Oh, it'll come to me while you're talking.
Okay. I can't. But he's from California.
I should know, but I try to forget.
Anyways, they're both talking to Democrat leadership.
Julian
Castro. Okay. And what's surprising to me is that, like, we have yet to see from Democrat leadership a Bill Clinton sister soldier moment where it's like, cut it out.
Yeah.
This is not productive. this is not the way that we should be behaving with one another. During this entire time that Trump has been in politics, not a single time has there been a strong call out to not just within their fellow Democrats, but within the entire Democrat umbrella, meaning voters, telling people we really need to cut this out. And yes, I know that Trump has his problematic verbiage and moments and things that he says, but I mean, the amount of times that I could say that there was like any legitimate, I don't know, dismissiveness of the active suffering of others or a call from Republicans or Republican leadership to harass people or to obstruct officers or to literally cause like disruption is not comparable. Like we literally, I don't want to get off subject, but yesterday.
Are you going to bring up the ICE?
Yes, they were two of the same incidents. It was actually two separate incidents.
Was it? I only thought there was the one in Texas.
So there was the one in Texas where someone called, like, I believe Border Patrol was heading to their offices and this man ambushed them and started to fire on them. So he was, I think one officer was hurt and then the shooter was killed. But previously, it was another Border Patrol incident where officers, I believe, were ambushed and somebody was actually hit in the neck. Like there were two separate incidents. Also, mind you, something that happened that we are not discussing is the guy that was up in Idaho or something like that, that called, what was it, firemen, like started a bushfire. And then it was a sniper that was hiding up in the hills.
Oh, yeah, that happened last week. Jeez.
Totally forgot about that until just right now. You cannot tell me. And then also, we're totally getting off subject here. Axios.
Oh, they, that's right.
They reported. Oh my gosh.
It was Democratic leadership was basically like, listen, if you need to get shot for the cause, it's fine.
It wasn't Democratic leadership. It was Democratic leadership that was reporting on the fact that they were going to town halls. I'm trying to see if I can find it. Oh, here we go. I have it right here. Look at me. I'm so ready. Okay, so the headline was, there needs to be blood. Democrat voters tell them to, quote, get shot in Trump's resistance push. So this is an Axios report that was released yesterday, the morning before the shooting of the Border Patrol agents at in, I think it was McAllen, Texas. And it specifically says that there are lawmakers who are going to town halls. Of course, none of these lawmakers were sharing their names. But House Democrats told Axios that there's growing anger among their base. And some of the quotes that are coming, like they're saying, we got people who are desperately wanting us to do something. No matter what we say, they want more. Oh, this representative was from Delaware. There was another one where it said, let me see. This is the grassroots wants more. Some of them have suggested that we really need to do what we really need to do is be willing to get shot when visiting ICE facilities or federal agencies, a third House Democrat told Axios. So the call from the outside, from normie people, according to this report, is to escalate violence. To harass, like create situations and be willing to get. Now, they're not necessarily saying that they should go and shoot anyone up. They're wanting.
They're encouraging other people to do it.
They're encouraging other people to do it to create an event so people understand how horrible and bad it is, which is really kind of interesting that you kind of have to like, I don't know, like say that you're. Like you have to, it's almost like they're arguing to create the escalated moment that would trigger something like that.
Yeah. Rather than like it organically them being there when an actual triggering event is happening, they have to manufacture.
Correct.
Something it's like, completely fake.
So when I went and got on my phone and I started seeing all of this commentary of basically people in Texas that are suffering from losing their loved ones and their children almost deserved it like almost like a victim blaming narrative, like you deserved it because this is what you voted for.
Yeah. It's not almost that. It is that.
Is that. And
that
it was
precisely what they're saying.
It was kind of, it was devastating, honestly. Yeah. I was just, you know, there's moments where you think like you can't be surprised by something.
Well, and I think in this business, you and I think that all the time. And then something else happens. We're like, okay, wow. But there are those moments, especially this weekend, where there's such a stark contrast. Like we're celebrating the 4th of July, those of us who did, who are not ashamed to celebrate and be grateful for this amazing country. We're having a great time. And if you hopped on to social media for, you know, a short amount of time, you're watching this tragic event happen, running parallel with the responses from people that are just disgusting. The lies from so many in progressive politics saying that people are dying, that Republicans writ large, they've gone to the whole like we're deplorable thing again, that we want all of these people ripped off Medicaid. Then you get into yesterday where even I, like, the Epstein thing hit and I just went, what is going on? Like, we are fracturing over and over and over. And how many more splits can there be? And then I went to bed and Trump was like, yeah, by the way, we're sending more munitions to Ukraine. Good night. And I am like, what's going on? It feels just very, I keep saying the phrase, but it feels off. And this event in Texas, not just because full like communities were wiped out, houses and memories just swept away, gone from families, if they were lucky enough to survive, but so many families just like gone and all of these babies dead. And you go online and you're like, wow, you guys didn't disappoint. There's still those people who are out there applauding it. And
well, and I think it's also just, I mean, we're supposed to be talking about the side that is harping on the other for their lack of compassion and empathy mm-hmm. and for caring for other people. But it's clear. It's like what I said in my Instagram stories. Like, mm-hmm. you, if this is your response, you have no interest in unity and you have no real interest in compassion.
Well, and I don't think you have a moral compass. No. And it goes back to what we've been talking about for months, though, that there is an assassination problem. It's all tied together. You wrote a post about it, that there is an assassination problem, a violence problem on the left when they continue to tell their political party that all Republicans are a monolith. Like you said, we lack compassion. We are all racist. We're only out for our own self-interests. We're very bad and we're ripping this country apart. When you tell people that repeatedly for months and years and decades, then what we saw with like Luigi Mangione, everybody was like, oh, wow, that's horrible. But there was also like an underlying contingent of people who were like, well,
was it though? Was it really that bad?
And you're like starting to see that more and more. So then when a large scale tragedy like this happens in Texas, people feel licensed to all of a sudden say stuff that normal people, they wouldn't think it to begin with. But if they thought something kind of off, they would be like, no, that's not right. And I definitely won't be saying that out loud because that's like the worst part of me. But these people are going on broadcasting just like I said, their lack of a moral compass completely, just the lies that they've been sold, this ideology they've bought into.
And I think, you know, I think they're being told lies mm-hmm. and they're regurgitating them. Yeah. And then they're using them as justification for what they're expressing. Yeah. So the narrative, or a lot of the times how I would see post, you know, these videos progress, is they would bring up, you know, Republicans have passed this horrible bill that is, and Trump signed it, that's going to kill millions. And it's super unpopular. And look, we can get into this, you know, whatever, the big, beautiful bill. I think it actually would be an interesting discussion because you and I don't necessarily 100% agree on it. But, you know, they would start with that, like, they're killing all of these people with this bill. And now they're cutting, you know, the DOGE cuts and cutting the National Weather Service and cutting of NOAA. That is what's led to the tragedy here in Central Texas. Why should we care? That's typically how it's going. Now, the narrative of killing millions because of the big, beautiful bill is not correct. Right. It's not accurate. The fact that these DOGE cuts, specifically when it comes to the National Weather Service and NOAA, those DOGE cuts do not become active until October later this year. So currently, the funding, the staffing, everything is at the same levels as when Biden was in office during the time, remember, of North Carolina, which nobody really brought that into question. Nobody was questioning the National Weather Service or NOAA or anything like that during when the North Carolina floods happened. If anything, what we were really concerned about was the response that FEMA, or the lack of response from FEMA, which was at the federal level. Okay. Mm-hmm. So now it was later revealed that actually I think the National Weather Service was overstaffed. It typically would have two people. It actually had five people. Multiple alerts were put out. As I mentioned, the funding had not taken action. So then the media started to switch the narrative of like, okay, well, they started to walk it back a little bit. So they started to go, you know, maybe the Trump administration should be reconsidering these cuts, because as we see, they could lead to tragedies. And I'm like, we literally had the same situation. This was a catastrophic event that happened all at once with like the perfect storm situation.
Even Trump said it. He was asked yesterday by press, or 2 days ago, like, what do you think? They're saying it all is basically your fault. And he was like, no, it's the same system that was used under Biden. He's like, and I wouldn't have blamed Biden for the alert system either. It's the same one. So,
well, and then in addition to that, like, let's bring it down to a local level, because at a local level, apparently the city of Kerrville, they had applied for a grant to get an emergency management flood warning system. And it was $1 million grant. And I think this would have included some sirens and some early notification of rising waters. They were denied the grant. And it was from a $1 million federal grant through the Texas Department of Emergency Management for a flood warning system. Yeah. The grant was denied, and the county itself decided not to invest independently the expense of implementing the system. Now, I saw Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick on an interview on Fox News where he announced that they're going to be going into a new legislative session. Yeah. The state of Texas is going to do a new legislative session on July 21st, and that they will be addressing funding for alert systems along this region, which is actually called Flash Flood Alley. It's like Tornado Alley, but for flash floods.
Yeah.
So the more information we gather, it seems to be that what we had here was a perfect storm, catastrophic event, and also some poor management or poor decisions at the local level, because this particular area knows that this is a flash flood area. Yeah. They had had previous multiple historic events of flooding in the area. Like the one that you mentioned that is most well known was in 87. There was some campers that got washed away on a bus trying to evacuate. But there have been multiple events throughout the years where there has been flooding in that area, and that it has happened quickly because of the terrain. Actually, it was interesting. One of the rivers that is involved with like the system of rivers that floods in this area is called the Llano River or Rio Llano. And Llano actually means shallow.
Because
that is how it would literally translate into Spanish. And I looked it up, and that particular part is that it is very wide with high rising, but it is a shallow river because of the bedrock and everything that's in it. And then when it floods, there's no capability of it to run into the ground. It just starts to rise up.
Because the soil is so hard and cracked there. It can't absorb anything. My girls were asking about that, saying, you know, can that happen here? And I said it would be much less likely because
more soil.
We do. It's so absorbent. Like we can get. It's not like, say, in California, where it was all concrete. There was nowhere for the water to go. Here, it's super absorbent. So we can get hours and hours of rain, and it's not impacting us in the same way. So there is some predictability.
Well, and it's like I'm in I'm in Tennessee, and you know, in the Chattanooga area, and we have mountains and flash flood warnings all the time because of the terrain that's here. And there are pockets that, you know, we also have a river that will overflow and cause damage. But I don't know, they'll be doing a reevaluation. Lieutenant Governor Patrick, as I mentioned before, says that they're going to look at putting in a siren system at the state level, that the state itself is going to be funding it. We're going to be hearing more investigations, of course, and there's still people that are missing that have not been accounted for. And so we really need to continue to keep these families in our prayers. It feels so, I don't know, want to say if dismissive, like, you know, like, I really want them to find peace and that they come. No, I don't. I'm just praying for them.
You don't come back from that. Yeah. If I'm honest, I've never gone through it, obviously. And I know many people who have gone through tragedy and have gone on to live amazingly wonderful, impactful lives, but they're changed people for forever. Just absolutely devastating. It rips your heart out. I cannot imagine what they're going through.
So, but I do a drastic turn into. So Epstein.
Yeah. About him.
About that.
Much less about him at this point, much more about his records and what's.
All right, friends, hold on to your pantalones because Rachel has some serious intel for all the parents out there who are tired of the media dumpster fire, but still want your kids to know what's happening in the world. Rachel's out here living the dream, raising lambs, homeschooling four girls, and actually has to deal with the "Mom, what's happening?" questions without traumatizing anyone after overhearing our enthusiastic podcast conversations. So, Rachel, tell our listeners about this amazing video news opportunity that apparently is going to save their sanity.
Okay, so a lot of our listeners are familiar with World News, but have you guys heard of their student-focused video product, WorldWatch? It's daily news videos designed specifically for kids, but from a Christian worldview, like fact-based journalism that helps kids explore the world, learn news literacy, all while recognizing God's design in everything.
And you don't have to pre-screen it like content, you know, policing.
Exactly. 10 minutes, a video a day, no weird agenda, no scary stuff they're not ready for. Plus, with a paid subscription, you get access to their full archive if you want to catch up or revisit stories. Just real news videos you can actually feel good about letting them watch. And right now, you can get 3 free months. So check it out. Because unlike everything else in the media, you can trust this.
There you have it, friends. Rachel approved video news for your kids with 3 free months to try it. And we know Rachel has strong opinions. So if Rachel trusts it with her four girls, you know it's the real deal. Okay. So when was it? Axios, again, breaks the story. Adios breaks the story. That the Department of Justice has released a memo. Let me tell you, this memo is weird.
It's a weird memo. Why did that get released? Did no one read the memo?
No, it's not necessarily like the contents of the memo is weird. Like the contents of the memo is
like it's a little weird.
Well, I just mean in the sense of really, that's the conclusion that you're going to come to. Mm-hmm. I still feel like it's lacking some information or some more context, which is what a lot of people are asking for. But in particular, what I find weird about the memo is nobody signed the memo. Mm-hmm. Nobody is taking responsibility. Like, who wrote this memo?
Yep.
That's my friend.
And there was plenty of opportunity in the press conference, the White House press briefing yesterday, for Caroline Leavitt to clear that up. And she did not. She didn't say who wrote it. She just said, yep, there was a memo. And we're closing the books and we are tough on crime.
Well, and the memo itself brought up, like, it basically said, there was nothing there. It's like we've done after thorough investigation, we found no evidence of a list of clients or co-conspirators beyond those already named in court documents. And then medical examiner's conclusion of suicide by hanging is supported by all available evidence and witness testimony. And then, as you mentioned yesterday, the White House did their, you know, Caroline comes out for a press conference and Peter Ducey is like, what is going on with this?
Jeffrey Epstein. According to the report, This systematic review revealed no incriminating client list. So what happened to the Epstein client list that the Attorney General said she had on her desk?
Well, I think if you go back and look at what the Attorney General said in that interview, which was on your network on Fox News.
I've got the quote.
Go ahead.
John Roberts said, DOJ may be releasing the list of Jeffrey Epstein's clients. Will that really happen? And she said, it's sitting on my desk right now to review.
Yes, she was saying the entirety of all of the paperwork, all of the paper in relation to Jeffrey Epstein's crimes. That's what the Attorney General was referring to, and I'll let her speak for that. But again, when it comes to the FBI and the Department of Justice, they are more than committed to ensuring that bad people are put behind bars. They have an operation going on right now called Summer Heat, which has our murder rate trending in the...
Well, there was a guy who asked before Peter Doocy, and I think that Caroline Leavitt thought that was the only... I was actually quite surprised that the new media seat didn't ask. I was hoping that there would be a question about it.
Oh my gosh, the new media seat was that dude.
I don't know who he was.
He is...
Oh my gosh, you know
I do. I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but he is with the... my gosh, is it OAN? He's with one of these networks, either OAN or Right News Network Broadcasting. Uh-huh. He's the guy... It's the same guy that, remember when Zelensky didn't wear a suit?
Yeah.
The guy that was
he asked the question about it.
Yeah, like, why aren't you wearing a
suit?
Well,
you know I love that question.
And he's dating Marjorie Taylor Greene. Did you know that?
Okay, no, I didn't know it. All right, okay. So this is all making sense. But, like, he didn't ask the question about Epstein, and there was a couple other questions after that. I'm like, are they literally not going to answer this question? Like, this needs someone, or someone needs to ask it now.
Yeah.
And some guy asked, and she skirted around it. That's the only way to put it. And I would say it to her face, like it was a non-answer. And then Peter Doocy was like, well, but following up on that, like AG Pam Bondi literally said she had the client list on her desk. She is on a video on Fox saying that. And Caroline Leavitt was like, what she really said was,
DOJ may be releasing the list of Jeffrey Epstein's clients. Will that really happen?
It's sitting on my desk right now to review. That's been a directive by President Trump. I'm reviewing that. I'm reviewing JFK files, MLK files. That's all in the process of being reviewed because that was done at the directive of the president from all of these agencies.
So have you seen anything that you said, oh my gosh?
Not yet.
And when they do that, it's like, don't tell me what I heard. I heard what I heard. And we can spin things all we want, but really what Caroline Leavitt wanted to do was shut down the question. And she did. She just said, nope. They said that they had all the files. They looked into it. Everything's tied up. It's fine. By the way, and I did think it was clever pivot to, we are the most tough on crime administration. Look at everything. We are deporting these criminals and we're all about law and order. Next question, please.
Well, and I went back and watched these clips of Bondi and what, mm-hmm. you know, what she said. And I have, you know, again, me kind of trying to parse things and play devil's advocate and trying to figure things out. Mm-hmm. I don't know if what happened here, because there's a few scenarios that are possible here. Okay. That one, maybe there was information at one point and it was destroyed since it got into the hands of, you know, the previous FBI or CIA or whatever. So it's possible that once they went through the truckload, because at one point on Hannity, she said there was a truckload of documents and evidence, that maybe once they got through it, it wasn't anything beyond what was already publicly known. Now, publicly known being that he was a sexual predator, a pedophile that took advantage of young women. And, you know, there was hundreds, I believe, of victims. And then I think Pam Bondi said that there's thousands of video of these victims being molested or whatever. I don't know what these videos showed, but obviously these victims were being abused by Epstein. Now, I don't know also if maybe beforehand, Bongino, Patel, and Bondi, before they got access to all of the information, were talking a big game, because this is the entire narrative that we were all assuming and discussing, right? Mm-hmm. And so they're going along with that because we're all asking the same questions. Yep. And they, at the time, did not have access to the information. Then they get into their offices. They have access to the information and they discover it's not what they thought it was. That's a possibility, maybe.
Or they're keeping things under wraps.
But here's the deal. Here's the problem. And this is why this... The problem is that because of the time that has passed, you know, many people asking questions will turn into other speculation.
Yeah, assumptions and whatnot.
Assumptions and stuff. And then, you know, you have, which frankly, Bongino and Patel specifically were personalities beforehand. Mm-hmm. So they're, maybe we are dealing with a previous audience capture of them asking these questions. And then when you do get in, and you find that there's nothing, and then you're like, oh, by the way, you know what? We were wrong. There's actually, everything is as they said it was. Even if that's true, you're going to question it. Because you, everybody had all this information. They talked a big game. And Bondi specifically, I have a problem with her, and I've had a problem with her for a while. Not only because I feel like she hasn't been as strong as she could potentially be, but I feel like she overpromises. Well, like in my person, this is my personal opinion. A lot of times when she goes on these network television commentary moments, Hannity, whatever, she overpromises
and underdelivers.
And underdelivers because she is catering to, like, it's almost like she needs some kind of media training or something. And have more control over, which you would expect that of Attorney General, but have more control over what she says without completely knowing the full information beforehand. Because it is possible that she got in there. Remember, this is early on. The whole binder situation was very early on. She went on to Hannity and said that the Southern District of New York was withholding documentation. That's when she said that this truckload of documents be delivered to her, which, by the way, she also said that she had instructed Patel to investigate the Southern District of New York as to why they were withholding that. That report has yet to surface. I have no idea if that's actually being investigated, why the documentation was allegedly withheld.
Yeah. And we've had no answers on it at all.
We all did. And the FBI handed over a couple hundred pages of documents. But, you know, Sean, I gave them a deadline of Friday at 8 a.m. to get us everything. And a source had told me where the documents were being kept. Southern District of New York, shock. So we got them all by, hopefully all of them, Friday at 8 a.m., thousands of pages of documents. I have the FBI going through them, and Cash is also, now that we have Cash here, it's a game changer, of course. So a source said, whoa, all this evidence is sitting in the Southern District of New York.
Yeah.
So based on that, I gave them the deadline, Friday at 8, a truckload of evidence arrived. It's now in the possession of the FBI. Cash is going to get me and himself, really, a detailed report as to why all these documents and evidence had been withheld. And, you know, we're going to go through it as fast as we can, but go through it very cautiously to protect all the victims of Epstein, because there are a lot of victims.
Well, you had identified in phase one over 254. Okay. Now, is that the only thing that would be redacted? Will everything else be made public that you get in your possession?
Yeah, the FBI hasn't had, obviously, they haven't looked at the thousands of pages of documents that they've just received Friday. Yeah. But Cash has a team going through them, and it's always about protecting the victim. But you know what? We believe in transparency, and America has the right to know. The Biden administration sat on these documents. No one did anything with them. And why were they sitting in the Southern District of New York? I want a full report on that. You know, sadly, these people don't believe in transparency, but I think more unfortunately, I think a lot of them don't believe in honesty. And it's a new day, it's a new administration, and everything's going to come out to the public. The public has a right to know. Americans have a right to know.
And then she talks about all of this, like she just talks like this big game. And so you're expecting for her to drop a bomb, and then it's like, nothing there.
Yeah, same with the folders, with the binders, with all the influencers at the White House. Oh my gosh, this is the biggest thing. And then it kind of turned into a nothing burger. And when you keep doing that over and over and over again, and I don't necessarily think Bongino and Patel are doing that. I think it was a little disappointing for some people when they came out and said he definitely killed himself, because I think people really in their minds are convinced that it was an inside job. But with Bondi, when you keep doing that, and then Bongino and Patel are all looped into this, they're absolutely being discredited, like 100%, with so many Republicans right now are like, I don't know the whole story, but you guys have been playing games with our minds for the last couple months, telling us, well, this is going to come out and soon you're going to have flight logs and video evidence and a client list from not just Bondi, but like other Republican leaders saying it's coming, be patient, it's coming. And then when it doesn't, it's kind of it's definitely deflating, but it just discredits them. Like the trust and honesty thing, that's what we wanted. This, what Caroline Leavitt talked about yesterday in the press briefing, where she said, we're the most transparent administration in United States history.
I mean, they are more transparent than past, but are they sufficiently?
100% I agree with that. But what I'm saying is, you are not doing yourself any favors toying with the American public. Like, I just have a hard time believing that they really thought that they were going to drop a bunch of stuff and then they were told they couldn't. I kind of feel like all along they knew it was just not going to be a lot. And maybe they thought by doing the binder ordeal or just like dropping little hints here and there, like, yeah, something's coming out, that maybe people would forget about it, but they don't.
That makes no sense.
I mean, none of this makes sense then. So then what you're saying is they really legitimately all thought that they had something and then they were told you don't have it? Or that's where I want to know. Burned? Was it destroyed? Or can you just not share it? Because they made it sound yesterday in the press briefing like they have stuff, but they can't share it because...
I understand why they would not be able to share some stuff. Like if you look at things legally, just like a normal person would assume, like, why can't you release it? There's multiple reasons. There's reasons because victims' identities still need to be concealed. There might even be, like, it's possible that there's someone on there that they're protecting because that individual might have access to bigger...
Well, it serves, quote, national security.
Correct. Yeah. Like, that's a possibility. Do I like that? No.
But my question is, Maxwell and him were both tried in federal court and they were charged federal crimes, right? And she's still serving, he's dead. But they were charged in sex trafficking. So who were the children being trafficked to?
Sex trafficking doesn't necessarily mean that you have to traffic it. So a lot of people have an image of sex trafficking.
It doesn't have to be to one specific person. It can just be away from a country or a location.
Correct. So if you are bringing underage girls from Florida to your private island, that's trafficking. Even if it's for your own interest. Like, sex trafficking does not have to include trafficking to other individuals. You can only traffic to yourself. The act of trafficking is that you are facilitating and moving individuals to coerce and sexually take advantage of them across state lines, or because you're paying for them, or you're using them for any other services, but it doesn't specifically have to require another individual. And a lot of people have the image of sex trafficking being like, I don't know, like Taken or whatever. Yeah. Where like,
I mean, it can be, but
it can be, but that is not, that's not the benchmark. And so it is very possible, because we hear this all the time, when you have a predator or a pedophile, that they have tens of thousands of images of sexually explicit content that involves minors. And it's possible that when Bondi said thousands, it could be videos that he took himself, and it could be content that he consumed and downloaded from the internet. Do you understand? You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, it could be both. And that's why you got to that number. The bigger question is, you know, whether or not there are other individuals that partook in the abuse of these minors. And according to this memo,
that is not the case, because otherwise, why would there be Epstein Island? Why would there be the Lolita Express?
But
why
would there be?
I know it's all speculation because there's no evidence, because the memo has declared it.
And that's what's frustrating. It's like, oh, are we supposed to just take the memo as it is?
Yes, that's exactly what they want us to do.
It is horribly possible. And this is everybody who's going to be, don't yell at me, okay? This is me doing my thing, okay?
Who's Mercedes doing the Mercedes?
It is possible that, you know, maybe these individuals suspected, and then when I'm talking about individuals, I'm talking about the client list. or alleged client list. It is possible that they suspected that Epstein wasn't on the up and up, but then they convinced themselves that it wasn't that big of a deal, or that they didn't want to get involved, or he had access to people and to money, which I think is something that is worth investigating further. Like, where did his money come from? But he had influence that was of interest to other people in power and probably intelligence agencies, okay? Being CIA, Mossad, whoever, like everybody's speculating. It doesn't necessarily mean that he was an agent of either one of them, but he could have been a source, for example. Mm-hmm. And in his, I don't know, boldness was also doing this depravity on the side. It doesn't necessarily mean that other people partook in it. And maybe having suspicion or knowledge isn't enough evidence to prosecute anyone. And it's possible that my assumption is that if there, I would hope and pray. This is what I'm saying. I would hope and pray that if there is video evidence of, I don't know, just some random person of influence, I don't want to put any names out there, abusing young girls, that is a smoking gun. And that would be like, why would you not prosecute that? Do you understand what I'm saying? Like,
I do understand.
And so I would really hope and pray if that was the evidence that was available, that we would be like, something would have happened.
You would hope. Yes,
I would hope. But it is possible that like all of this video evidence that he, it was just him and Ghislaine, whatever the heck her name is, and that there was no other people involved in it. I don't know, is my point. What I think is problematic is that while I understand why names of victims and videos of victims can't be released because you don't want to re-victimize those people, I really do think that we need more than just this memo.
Yeah.
Or at least provide it to an independent journalist or agency where they can also confirm that there's
validity
and there's no dare there. And I really think it's problematic that Bondi keeps talking like she's some big shot that's going to go all hard on everyone. And then she doesn't. And whether or not she doesn't because legitimately there's nothing there or because she's protecting someone, both of them are a problem because she overpromised from the get-go.
Yeah.
And that undermines the trust in the institution, which the entire purpose of these people being in the FBI and in the DOJ was hopefully
root out the deep state.
Correct. Root out the deep state and try and facilitate like trust in our institutions again. And this is not helping. It also doesn't help, by the way, which I haven't gotten into. So the memo provided a link to the video of
that's gone now.
No, I just clicked on it last night.
I was told that the link to the Axios reporting, it's gone on Axios.com.
Okay, so like if you, so on Axios, they have an embed of the memo. And if you click on the document cloud itself, last night at least, I was able to watch the video.
You were.
And so the link worked. I was able to watch the video. And it literally at the like 11... Now, I don't know, because there's a lot of speculation, again.
Oh, were you talking about the minute that's missing?
The minute. So there's a minute missing out of... So they released an 11-hour-long video of the common area that's supposed to be outside Epstein's cell. Now, the doors that we're looking at in that video are not the doors of his cell. It is the access point to the common area of where Epstein's cell is. So they're saying, like... Now, we're not seeing directly outside his door. We're not seeing him or anything like that. It's literally like a landing and there's doors where it's clear because people come in and out of one of these doors. They're officers, like corrections officers, that this is just an access point. The camera is an access point. And if you go down the steps, I believe down the steps is where Epstein's cell door is, which is very hard to see, by the way. But at 11:58 or 11:59 p.m., there's a minute that goes away. Now, is that minute happen to coincide with the time change? It goes from like 11:58 to midnight.
Mm-hmm.
maybe that's why the minutes disappeared.
Yeah, maybe.
Do you know what I mean? Maybe it's just like a camera glitch and like it switches over from one day to the next and you lose a minute. That's a possibility. Yep. I don't know. But it doesn't help that there's a minute missing and everybody's like, well, wait a minute. Why is that minute missing? What can you do in a minute? Did somebody run in and run down the steps in that minute and do something to him? I don't know. But we didn't see anybody coming out that allegedly was supposed to be there. And then there's all the other questions. Like, guards were supposed to be checking Epstein every 30 minutes. Apparently, yep, they didn't do that. The camera, I think, directly outside his cell malfunctioned, like, during a critical window. Is that, I don't know if that's this 11-hour video that was released or if that speculation was from another camera. Because there was, like, an unexplained 40-minute gap between when guards found Epstein and when emergency services were called. So is that because they were freaking out and they realized that they didn't check on him every 30 minutes and they were trying to cover their butts, or was there for another reason?
I don't know.
Who we did not see in the video was Hillary Clinton. I'm just saying. He was nowhere to be seen.
Oh.
So I don't know what to make of this. I think I get everybody's frustration, especially with Bondi. And I hate to say this, but at this point, I'm almost wondering if Matt Gaetz would have been better.
Someone who, I think it was Cernovich, posted a pic of Matt Gaetz and was like, the swamp would have been drained if that guy was our AG.
I don't know. I've been frustrated with her from the get-go. I didn't know much about her when she got on or was nominated. And my biggest issue with her is that I don't like the way she communicates.
Yeah, I think that that's fair.
I feel like her communication or lack of communication skills is really problematic. She uses a lot of, you know, for an attorney general, she uses a lot of flowery, not hyperbole, but just kind of like adjectives to make herself come off. It's almost, I hate to say this, but it's almost like she's compensating as like a female AG. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I do. I can't. There's too many things, too many people, too many...
Are you frustrated?
I am frustrated because it's like trying to figure one thing out. You have to have 10 other things figured out to make that one thing make sense, because it's all so insidious and related and layered. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, and I think unfortunately, specifically in this instance, we're never going to know.
No.
This is going to be like one of those conspiracy theories where everybody questions, that you can find valid passive inquiry to explore that you're never really going to get answers to, and that, you know, require a lot of assumptions.
Well, and I think it's a good thing to remember when campaign promises are made. And look, I voted for Trump, so I'm not saying this as a told you so type of thing, but, you know, we were promised an end to the Russia-Ukraine conflict on day one. We were promised Epstein files, JFK files, and some of those things just aren't turning out the way we were told that they would. It would have been foolish for us to believe all of it would happen. Just
yeah.
The way it was said.
That's it's what I was about campaign. To say.
They lie all the time.
Well, say I don't even know necessarily lying.
It's a promise, and they make a lot of promises and they can't keep them all. And I think that's good to remember with every politician in every election, local or national.
It's so. Like a scale. You got to figure out. I will say the administration is meeting with more of their promises than they are not.
Yeah.
And I don't think if everybody's like, well, what's the answer we need to say? I don't think you're going to get them. And no. I don't think heads are going to roll or anything like that. I don't think anybody, I think, you know, it's been clear, especially after what Levitt said from the podium. And even I think it was Bongino or no, Trump himself. He posted a truth where he said, hold on, I have it here because I don't want to misquote the president. But he said the FBI, under the direction of Director Kash Patel and Deputy Director Dan Bongino, is back to the basics, locking up criminals and cleaning up America's streets. We have the greatest law enforcement professionals in the world, but, quote, politics and corrupt leadership often prevented them from doing their job. This is no longer the case, and now they have been unleashed to do their jobs, and they are doing just that. Keep it up. Make America safe again. Now, he posted that after this memo had been released.
Yeah.
And so now he's not talking about Epstein specifically, but it makes
you
wonder.
No, it's the same talking point, though, as Levitt.
Levitt,
basically,
exactly.
Like, law and order, we're doing our job.
basically pivot your attention. We're moving on from this, but we're still going to talk about how law and order is important to us and keeping
and
America
well,
safe.
Yes, so. I agree that the FBI should be out there being cops and not covering up, you know, conspiracies or collusion or going after our elected officials or anything like that. But also at the same time, like, we need more. I just would like a little bit more transparency on this for sure.
I agree.
I'm going to go ahead and wrap us up for today's episode of Rivera and Reeves. I know that was a lot, but we didn't even touch on so much
There's
more.
There's so much more.
Follow our Instagrams.
I mean, I have tons. I have 5 headlines I was just sent while we were recording. So just follow the Instagram.
I mean, Elon
guys.
Is trying to start a new party. We talked about the Border Patrol agents things. We got that socialist that's running for mayor in New York City. So many things. Okay. So if you want to keep up with that, reminder, actually, you guys may not know this, but we have a newsletter that we put out every morning. Rachel has one where she, on her own Substack, the Morning Dispatch, where she gives some headlines and commentary. Rivera and Reeves also puts out a newsletter of the headlines of the day. So if you want to keep up with additional stories that we are unable to discuss on today's episode, that is a great way to get that. I'm going to go ahead and wrap us up for today's episode of Rivera and Reeves. We're done. Okay. Hopefully we'll be back
on Thursday
for another episode that will be less eventful. But if this is your first time here, welcome. You have found your new favorite podcast. Make sure you give us a follow so you don't miss another episode. Leave us a 5-star rating, a lovely review, and share it with a friend because it really helps the podcast grow, because the algorithms are not fans of us apparently right now. And follow us on our other socials. Check out the links in the show notes for our sponsor and for our merch. So that's it. That's all we have. And we'll see you again on Thursday. And here's a reminder that the media is trash and we have no tolerance for it. Okay. Bye.
Bye.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.